beautifully for us. If you have a copy of the scriptures before you, and I would like you to turn, please, tonight to 2 Kings chapter 2. I just want to read one verse of scripture. 2 weeks ago, I said this last week, 2 weeks ago, I got COVID the third, and I was shut up for about 5 days, and I was took the opportunity to prepare. The week that's passed, I preached twice in my home congregation in Utnabi. They are celebrating in early 2023 their 70th anniversary. The church started in 1953 in White Abbey and then eventually moved to up the road to Utnabi. Their theme was going on with God, and I preached from this passage on Elisha taking up the mantle of Elijah and the next generation going on with God. Elisha took up the mantle of Elijah, and it signified he was taking on Elijah's work. He was Elijah's successor, and the challenge to the next generation is that they will take the mantle of the generation that has gone before and follow the Lord and serve Him as faithfully as they have. But I was pondering the passage, and there was a verse that struck me that I felt that I should preach in the gospel and in the gospel meeting. And it's a little phrase at the end of verse 11. And for the sake of time tonight, I just want to read the one verse, 2 Kings chapter 2 and the verse 11. It says, "And it came to pass, as they still went on," that is Elijah and Elisha, "they were walking and they went down into Jordan and they walked up the other side and talked. Behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." Let's just briefly pray before we consider God's word tonight. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we consider this great gospel text, we pray that Thou wilt show the reality of heaven to souls. And may it please Thee that every soul gathered here, when their life is over, may their soul go up to heaven. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage of Scripture which contains this verse, verse 11 of 2 Kings chapter 2, records the last day of Elijah's life on earth. And it records the last acts that he performed before he left this earth and he was taken up by a whirlwind into heaven. My text for tonight is that final little phrase in verse 11. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And my title tonight is this: going up to heaven. Gospel lessons from Elijah, going up to heaven. You see, someday you too will have a final day on God's earth. You might live as long as Methuselah. You won't, but if you could, you still would have a final day on earth. You can live a life as full as the Apostle Paul. It's doubtful that you will, but if you could, there will still come a time when your life on earth, your time on earth, will come to a close. And the question is, when your time on earth comes to a close, whenever it may be near, it might be further away, when your time on earth comes to a close, Will you go up to heaven like Elijah? Or will your soul go down into hell? Now, Elijah's departure from this earth is unique. It's unique for a number of reasons. It's unique because it appears that he and others knew of the day of his departure. If you look at verses 3 and 5, Elijah, he visited a number of schools of the prophets. They were really what we would term Bible schools, or schools where the prophets were taught and instructed to minister the word of the Lord in the day and age they lived. There was one in Bethel, there was one in Jericho, and it tells us that when they went down there, the sons of the prophets at Bethel, verse 3, came forth to Elisha, and they said, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he, Elisha, said, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." The sons of the prophets had got word that Elijah was going to be taken away by the Lord. The sad thing was, while they knew this, they still had a heart of unbelief because they wanted to send out a search party. Whenever Elijah eventually went up to heaven, they thought the Lord had taken him and he'd fallen down again in some mountain. But they'd got word that Elijah was possibly, the talk was, Elijah was going to leave the earth and go up to heaven. And Elisha certainly knew it. Verse 5, he says, "Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. I know it." Elisha knew that Elijah was going to leave him that day. And if Elisha knew and the sons of the prophets had heard, I think it's probably true to say that Elijah knew it. He knew the day of his departure. Now, each and every one of us probably fall into the category of Isaac. Isaac said, "I know not the day of my death." We do not know when death will come and we will leave this world. It could be sooner than we think. Many have got up in the morning never thinking that while they put their shoes on in the morning, the undertaker will take them off in the evening. They get up to go about their business and something happens and they're out into God's eternity. We do not know the day of our death. It could be closer than we think. But Elisha, it seems to know, Elisha and Elijah knew that Elijah was going to depart that day. So his departure is unique in that he seems to have known that this day was his last day on earth. It's unique for another reason. He left this world without dying. He is one of only two men on this earth who did not die. Enoch and Elijah were both translated. We're not given as much information about Enoch. It just says God translated him. He took him straight to heaven. With Elijah, we're given more detail. As he passed over Jordan, chariots of fire and horses of fire came down and parted him and Elisha. And he went up by heaven into a whirlwind. He did not die. You will die. Unless the Lord Jesus returns first, you will leave this world by death. And so you can see that Elijah's departure is unique for a number of reasons. However, there are a number of general lessons that we learn from his departure that are applicable to each and every one of us in the gospel. And I want to particularly emphasize those general lessons tonight. I want you to see, firstly, a truth that is so solemn. If you look at verse 11 and 12, it says, "It came to pass as they still went on and talked." I'm picturing the scene in my mind. And a miracle took place. For Elijah came to the river Jordan and he took his mantle, his cloak, and he smote the waters, and the waters parted, and they went through on dry land. Three times in the Bible, we read of this wonderful miracle. The Lord parted the waters for Moses and Israel at the Red Sea. He parted the waters again at the River Jordan for Joshua and for the children of Israel when they went into the promised land. And now he's doing it again for Elijah. He takes the mantle, he smites the waters of Jordan, and they go back. And him and Elisha, they walk through on dry ground, and they're walking. And they're walking and they're talking. I wonder what they were talking about. We're not told. Were they talking about the schools of the prophets, the young men coming through? Were they talking about Elijah's departure? For Elisha has indicated he knew it was coming. We're not told what they were talking about. I wonder, did they get that conversation finished? Because as they talked, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and it parted them. And it seems to me that conversation wasn't finished. The chariot of fire came down and parted them asunder, and Elisha went up into heaven by a whirlwind. And as far, Elijah went up into heaven by the whirlwind, and as far as Elisha was concerned, as far as all Elijah's earthly relationships, his friendship with Elisha was concerned, it was over on this earth, and it was over forever. Look at what it says about Elisha in verse 12. It says, Elisha saw it and cried, "My father, my father. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof," and he saw him no more. Note those words, he saw him no more. Here's the solemn truth. The day you depart this life, all earthly relationships, all earthly ties, all earthly bonds, they're broken and they're ended. They didn't get their conversation finished. Elijah departed. And the earthly tie was brought to an end. They had gone on a journey that day. If you read the chapter, they journeyed from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to Jordan. They'd known each other at least from 1 Kings 19, when God appointed and showed Elijah that Elisha was to be his successor. But for the closeness of the earthly bond and tie, Elijah's departure brought an end to it, until Elisha would depart as well. Death severs all earthly ties, bonds, and relationships. You may live, you may work, you may socialize with friends and family, but one day when you leave this world through the valley of death, you will traverse it alone, you will enter into eternity, and all of the earthly relationships are left behind. I emphasize that tonight because there are some and they're allowing relationships to keep them from God, to keep them from Christ, to keep them from salvation. One day, you'll leave all the earthly ties behind. You'll walk the valley of death and you'll meet the Lord. You'll enter eternity and it will be heaven or hell. The earthly ties will be broken, and those that kept you back from Christ, that relationship, that friendship will end. You'll enter eternity. Spend it forever. There's another solemn aspect of this truth. Not only are earthly relationships and ties severed, but if you look at verse 8 and then verse 14, you'll see something else that's brought out in the prophet's mantle. Elijah took his mantle. What was the mantle? The mantle was his cloak. It was the prophet's cloak, his coat or cloak. And he wrapped it together, and he smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so the two went over on dry land. That great miracle took place. But look at verse 14. Well, we'll read verse 13, and it is actually verse 13. Verse 12 tells us that Elisha saw it. He saw Elijah go up to heaven. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah. Note this in verse 13, that fell from him. Just note that wee phrase, that fell from him. His cloak, his prophet's mantle, as he went up, the cloak fell from him. He couldn't take his cloak with him up to heaven. And do you know what that reminds me and teaches me of? There's nothing that you own. There is nothing that you possess. There is nothing that you have in this life that you can take with you into the world to come when you depart this life. Your earthly possessions, your finances, your belongings, all that you have, when you leave this world and leave this life, you'll leave them all behind. Elijah went to heaven, but he left his cloak behind on earth, and Elisha picked it up. And when you leave this world, you will leave all your possessions behind, and someone else will pick them up. Maybe by the children, grandchildren. You'll leave it right, set your house in order before you depart this life and leave things right. But the point I'm making is, you'll leave it all behind. And it reminds me of the words that Jesus said in that parable in Luke chapter 12. He told of the rich man, and his ground brought forth plentifully. And he said, what will I do? I'll pull down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. And I'll bring all my harvest into my barns. And I'll sell it and I'll say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry. For you have much goods laid up for many years. God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And that night he died and his soul was taken out into eternity. And Jesus said this in Luke 12 and 20. Then who shall those things be? He left his barns. He left his harvest. He left his wealth. He left all his possessions behind. And they became someone else's. And he lost his soul because all he was focused on in life was possessions. And he put his possessions before his soul and the Savior. How many are doing that today? No time for Christ, the things of God. No time for their soul or salvation because they're living to get. They're living for gain. They're living for material prosperity. And no matter how much they have, they're never satisfied. And they're neglecting their eternal, never-dying soul to get a few temporal goods in this world. One day they'll leave it all behind and they'll enter eternity. I say to you, there are truths that are solemn. Every earthly relationship, every earthly possession, it's going to be left behind when you depart this life. And therefore, what are you living for? Are you living for earthly friendships and pleasures? Are you living for earthly possessions? Or are you seeking God's salvation? Have you sought God's salvation and got your soul right for Him and are living with Him? There's something else that we learn about Elijah's departure when he went up to heaven. Not only a truth that was solemn, but a testimony that was sure. The testimony of where Elijah went is clear. It's clear from the statement of Scripture. Verse 11, Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. It's clear because of the sight and then the sounding forth of the prophet. Elisha saw it. He saw him go up into heaven. And then he told the prophets. Look at verse 16. They said unto him, behold, now There is with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. Can I just pause for a moment? You know, there are many Christians like those sons of the prophets. They have a knowledge of the Word of God. They knew, they'd heard Elijah was going to be taken from them. And yet when he was taken from them, they doubted. They were full of unbelief. And they said, well, send a search party. The Lord has maybe taken him up and he's cast down now on some mountain. Aye, they heard the word and they spoke it to others, but they didn't really believe it. They were full of unbelief. Well, Elisha, what did he say? He said, ye shall not send. No point sending out a search party. He's not here, he's in heaven. And the point I'm making is this, when Elijah departed, he left the testimony that was sure, where in absolutely no doubt where Elijah went to when he left this earth. He went to heaven. And I wonder, when you leave this world, when you depart this life, will you leave a clear testimony that your soul is in heaven? That's not only possible, but it's desirable. We don't want to stand at your funeral and not be sure where your soul is. We don't want to be anguished within our hearts. Well, did they trust the Lord or did they not? Is their soul in heaven or is it in hell? We want to be able to say, as it could be said of Elijah, he's in heaven. We know that this man or this woman, they've left a testimony and they're in heaven. It's not only possible, it's desirable. You know, we could go to many in the Scriptures to prove it, but let me just remind you of one. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. I'll soon pass from this world. I'm about to be martyred for the Christian faith. The time of my departure is at hand. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I'm going to heaven. When I depart this life, I'll go to be with Christ, and there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Do you know why Paul could leave a sure and certain testimony, and he could say with assurance, I'll be in heaven, I'll receive the golden crown when I get home. Do you know why he could say that? Because there was a time in his life when he was converted. There was a time in his life when he was saved from his sin. He was the persecutor of Christ and Christianity. He was the hater of God and the gospel. But as he went to Damascus to persecute Christians, the Lord met him, blinded him, spoke to him, Saul, Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He cried out, who art thou, Lord? Jesus answered, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. He cried out, what wilt thou have me to do? He bowed the knee in submission. He bowed the knee in surrender. He bowed the knee and called upon the Savior to forgive him and save him. And in that moment, he passed from death unto life. He became a child of God. And then he went on to live for Christ and to serve Christ. And he had a testimony that Christ had saved him. And he was a servant of the Lord. That when he came to die, he could say, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Let me ask you again, when you depart this life, well, you have left a clear, comforting testimony that those loved ones left behind will take comfort to know you've gone to be with Christ in heaven, which is far better. Yes, there is a truth that is solemn. He left his earthly friends and he left his earthly possessions behind. But there is a testimony that is certain. Then thirdly, I want you to consider from Elijah's departing, there's a triumph that was satisfying. The question might be asked, why did Elijah not die? The same with Enoch. There are a number of answers, certainly for Elijah. There's one answer that I am not even going to go near tonight. And some believe that in accordance with Christ's prophecy that Elijah will return before the Lord returns, and believe that he is one of the two great witnesses in the book of the Revelation in the chapter 11. But I want to keep it a little more general than that tonight. I believe one of the reasons that Elijah did not die was because he is a type of Christ ascending. Jordan in the Bible is a type and a picture of death. How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? You see, for Israel to get their inheritance in Canaan, they had to pass over Jordan. And for the believer to enter into their eternal inheritance, they have to cross the valley of death. And Elijah, he took the mantle and he smote Jordan and he went down into Jordan, Jesus Christ. The Bible says he tasted death for every man. He went down into the Jordan of death for us. But the waters went back for Elijah, signifying that death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior. You see, Elijah went up the other side, and it reminds us that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And then when Elijah, he went down into the Jordan, signifying that Jesus would go down into death. He came up the other side, signifying that Jesus would rise from the dead. Then he went up into heaven by a whirlwind, signifying that 40 days after Christ's death and resurrection, he would ascend visibly into heaven. Elijah went up to heaven and Elisha saw him. Christ went up into heaven from the Mount of Olives and his disciples watched him go. He is a type of Christ in his death and resurrection and in his ascension. But there's another reason why Elijah did not die. Not only because he is a type of Christ, but because it is to teach us there is triumph over death. There is ultimate victory over death. The Bible teaches us that there will be those on earth when Jesus returns who will not die, but who will rise to meet the Lord. And in rising to meet the Lord, they will be in the twinkling of an eye. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, they shall be changed. And at that moment, in fact, before that moment, the dead in Christ, they rise first. Paul said, the dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together to meet him in the clouds in the air. And Elijah's ascension to heaven without death reminds us of what will take place when the Lord Jesus returns. There will be those alive who will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. They'll not pass the veil of death. And just before that happens, those that have died in Christ, their bodies will rise from the grave and they will rise into the air and they'll be reunited with their souls. And then they shall triumph over death forever. They shall never bodily, physically die again, but shall return with Jesus Christ and reign with Him forever. So that in that moment we will be able to say, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory over our Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me this, will you triumph over death or will death triumph over you? Because if you die without Christ, if you die in your sins, if you die unforgiven, if you die without being born again, then death will take you down to hell, and there you will die the second death, an eternal death, a conscious living death where you will be conscious for all eternity in hell itself. Will death triumph over you, or will you conquer and triumph over death in Jesus Christ? Elijah's ascension without dying reminds us and teaches us there is triumph over death. There's victory. through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, rose again, and ascended into heaven to purchase for us eternal life. Let me come to close tonight. And Elijah's ascension, going up to heaven in the whirlwind, is not only a truth that is solemn, a testimony that is sure and certain, a triumph that is satisfying. There's a time that is significant. I use the word time for our benefit. You see, when Elijah went up into heaven, time is no more. And yet, time on earth has passed. 1,000, almost 1,000 years passed, and the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Between 800 and 1,000 years. From Elijah departed in the whirlwind, went up to heaven, and Jesus Christ was born. Then another 30 years or so passed, and Jesus began to minister. And as part of his ministry, Jesus took James and John and Peter, and he took them apart from the disciples one day, and he took them up, and they climbed a high mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. We don't know which mountain it was, in the north of Israel, some high mountain, 800 to 1,000 years after Elijah had gone up to heaven in the whirlwind. If you turn to Matthew 17 in closing, you will see in verse 2 it says that Jesus was transfigured before them. In other words, he was changed. He was changed into his glory. And his face did shine as the sun. Peter, James, and John are there. Jesus is transfigured. He's changed into his glory. Verse 3 it says, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Elias is Elijah. I don't know how long Elijah lived on this earth before the Lord took him. Wonder, was it 60 years? Wonder, was he 70? I don't know, and we don't know. But after his time on earth, and he went up into heaven by the whirlwind, some 800 to 1,000 years later, he was still there. And the Lord sent him down, the Father sent him down, and he met with Moses, and with Moses was with him, and he met with Jesus, and with Peter and James and John on that mountain. He'd been 1,000 years in heaven. And then the Father took him back up into heaven just a little while later. And I put it to you, another 2,000 years have passed, and he's still there. 60, 70 years on earth. To heaven in 1,000 years. He was there, and he came down for a little season. He met with Christ, and he went back in another 2,000 years. He's still there. You see, heaven is eternal. The hymn writer said, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. Our soul will never perish or die in heaven. When the Lord returns, our souls will be reunited with our bodies. We'll dwell and we'll reign with Him in the eternal state. Just a few short years on this earth. Then eternity. When you depart, will you depart to heaven like Elijah did? Oh, you'll not go up bodily. Your body will die and rest in the grave until the resurrection. But will your soul go up to heaven as Elijah's? Or will it perish in a lost sinner's hell? That's the question you must answer. May you know Elijah's God and Savior. May you be in heaven in your time to